Cindy Lenhoff is director of the National Child Care Association. So this is somebody who deals with it. Every state is out there advocating, talking about the problems and what we need to do to fix child care. That's been a subject on this show for quite some time as we get people back into the workforce. And this was a problem, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind you, before pandemic, before COVID, this was a problem. And it was a problem that we needed to be working on. So I want to bring Cindy in on the conversation. Cindy, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Joel. I always appreciate being able to tell childcare's story because of the effect that childcare, or lack of it, has such dire effects on children and families and the providers and educators that do it.
Okay.
Excuse me, but I got to get rid of my dog.
I'll just keep talking until you come back and say something. How's that? As I've told everyone, you know, that was listening to this, we've been talking about women not going back into the workforce. And I'm not, we always feel like we have to put a precursor out there, that we have to put by this insurance policy by saying that, you know, when it comes to childcare, this isn't just a woman issue. Well, that's true. But if you look at the percentages of the people that aren't coming back in the workforce that we desperately need in the workforce, it's women. You know,
it's
women. And this is a major issue in regards to making sure we can get everybody back in the workforce. Cindy, there's a lot of staff apparently that's leaving childcare facilities. How do we resolve that as part of the issue as well? Are there enough workers out there to do childcare?
Unfortunately, right now, it doesn't appear that there is. Personally, I have even assisted some providers in hiring just so I can really understand the depth of the problem. And at this point, we are seeing thousands and thousands of job postings on, you know, apps like Indeed. But we are seeing very, very few applicants, and of the applicants, very few can meet, you know, even minimal requirements for teacher assistant jobs, much less meet the requirements for lead teacher jobs that require more training and education and experience. And this is across the country because our organization represents predominantly small business owners of childcare centers. And a lot of people don't realize that 93% of the licensed child care providers are small businesses.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's a major thing that everybody has to look at when it comes to solution to the problem as well. Isn't there any money in it? Because if you're sitting there and somebody's making the argument that, hey, government involvement in child care is totally against the system of capitalism that we have now. If there's a need for child care out there, then, you know, you should be able to pay it, that there should be competition to do it if there is such a need. What's your answer to that, Cindy?
Well, first of all, I want to just say that we are the essential workforce that supports all other workforces. So we are an important part of the economy. And one of the questions that I often get from people that really, you know, don't understand the financial picture for the typical, you know, childcare owner in business is that unlike most service industries, and we've always been considered service versus education, even though over the last several years, licensed childcare has worked really hard to become a combination of childcare and early education. Because we know that the first years of a child's life are the period of the most rapid brain development, and it lays the foundation for all future learning. So we absolutely, you know, having children 10 to 11 hours a day while their parent works, have utilized the knowledge and the research that we've gained over the years to include early education. And therefore, we're hiring a workforce that combines caregivers and educators. And because we are regulated and we have a a minimum number of children that we can have with the number of staff that we have. Our labor percents run between 50 and 60% on average. Now, you're going to find that to be lower probably in the Northeast because they can command a much higher price. But at the same time, too, they also have to pay higher wages because of cost of living. Where in the South, it's really tight for labor because parents are very limited because they work in lower paying jobs. The economy is different. The cost of living is different. But at the same time, the average, and keep in mind, I was a provider for 36 years in 12 different states before I retired for a large childcare company. And the pain is the same. People don't often think that, but it is. And we really agree on how this needs to be addressed. So, for instance, I used to spar with a friend of mine who ran a large Walmart supercenter whose labor goal was between 9 and 11%. And as a provider, my labor goal was 51% because I have to have, for instance, if I take care of four infants, which is the average across the United States, there are states that the child teacher ratio is as low as 3-1 and as high as 1-6, but the average is 1-4. So if I enroll four infants, I have to have a caregiver for approximately 10 hours a day for those children. And so that's going to entail more than one. And if I have five, I'm going to have two. And parents, we really have capped them out on what middle-class parents can afford to pay. And so a lot of times people only look at the wages when labor is considered. And, of course, we have payroll taxes. We have workers' comp insurance. Many providers today have worked really hard to incorporate benefits into their, for their full-time workforce to attract people. But right now, the most current survey we have, which was taken in July by the National Association for the Education of Young Children, right now, what the respondents to that survey reported, and that would be owners and educators, is that 80% of the respondents are reporting that they're experiencing a staffing shortage. And that approximately 80% of those said that the main recruitment and retention challenge are low wages. Only 54% cited lack of benefits. So ultimately, wages are the biggest issue. And that's because we really can't go beyond that 50 to 60% average on labor without significantly raising our rates. And while we have raised them as much as we can, every time we raise rates, we start to lose a little more of the middle class because they are having to pay such a high percentage of their income on childcare. And it often and most usually exceeds their house payment. And it also exceeds what they would have to pay for their child to go to an in-state college. And so that's what pulls women out of the workforce, too, is that they have to think about, is this really going to pay me to work? And as a result, though, we are seeing a lot of our middle-class parents that are, pulling their children, putting them into unlicensed childcare circumstances and early, where there's, hardly any early education. It's just, good old-fashioned babysitting. And then that goes back to, is that really what we want to do? We are not only the workforce that supports the workforce, but we are the first workforce that begins preparing, the next generation's workforce.
Yeah. Cindy,
it's really sad.
Cindy, all of this, I mean, we laid it out really well. when we come back, what I'd like to know is how we fix it, what role government can play in all this. So stick around. Absolutely. Cindy Lenhoff is our guest. She is the director of the National Child Care Association. I know we only have about 4 minutes left, but I don't know anybody better to ask this question of. Cindy Lenhoff is the director of the National Child Care Association. She's worked in child care, for a lot of years, quite frankly. Cindy, how do we fix this? What role can government play in it? For those people that say government has no role in it, I'm curious what your take is. So as someone who knows, how do you fix this problem?
It's definitely not going to be an easy fix, but we have to consider some alarming statistics so that we can think about this logically and in a bipartisan way, because children are bipartisan regardless of their age. And just know that our government for the past, several decades has never invested more than 6 to 8% in children's needs, 6 to 8% of the budget. That includes early childhood, child care, K through 12 education, foster care, food and housing needs, health needs, all of that in put together, 6 to 8%. Regardless of whether there's been a Republican or Democratic Congress or president. So just know it's been underinvested from all aspects. And childcare has been on the very bottom of that investment. And we have 25% of our population are children. So there's really a disproportion in how we invest in children. And we are going to have to start with young children, because as the saying goes, if you know better, do better. And we know from research in the last 30 years that we must invest in young children and in their learning and development. So we can't do that without people and the right people. And right now, 51% of all children live in childcare deserts, which means there are less high-quality licensed childcare homes and childcare centers than there are children in the age group of 0 to 6. So we've got to invest in infrastructure as far as adding centers, especially in more rural areas, in order to meet the need. But it's not just that, rural areas. It can be big cities as well. We've got to lower the cost for families, and that to get high quality childcare, which is going to require some subsidy for higher income brackets than we're currently investing in, because you really have to live well below the poverty line to get any kind of help. And we are going to have to get better at making the jobs for early educators more attractive in childcare. And one of the goals of the Build Back Better Act would address the childcare workforce shortage and improve working conditions by raising wages from the current average of $13.50 an hour to at least a living wage, with raises reaching the equivalent for elementary educators that have similar credentials and experience in their state and support for professional development.
Okay.
Because right now we do not have that. We are hourly educators with degrees make less than half of what they can make if they go teach kindergarten or first grade in a public school.
Sure.
So you can't blame them for leaving.
Yep. Cindy, I'm out of time, but man, you laid it out there. The facts are out there. If they go to your website, can they see the positions of your group?
Absolutely. NationalChildCare.org.
Okay.
And they are also welcome to email me through the email address on the website. I'll talk to anybody and give them more detail, so they can, determine how they want to help this situation.
Sure.
Because regardless of who you are in society, what we do with young children matters.
I gotcha.
As an old Indian wisdom says, seven generations.
Thank you, Cindy.